That's why it's so important to take the rest that you need. But again, there is no outward rest until there's inward rest. And Jesus introduced us. This was His introduction to inward rest.
The grace of God is evident as you enter the rest made available by the finished work of Jesus. Join Jeremy Pearson today as he reveals the depth of that rest and how to lay hold of your victory. Next, on The Believer's Voice of Victory.
Hello, everybody. Welcome once again to The Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. I'm Jeremy Pearson, and I'm thrilled to be with you again today. Now, if you haven't been a part of these broadcasts over the last several days, do what it takes to get those in your eyes and in your ears. We have had a great time over the last several days, and we're going to continue today and the rest of this week on into next week. But what a privilege it is just to come together around the Word of God. And it's like I told you before, you know, I grew up watching this broadcast. I remember those early mornings when Mom and Dad would come and get us up a few minutes before 6 a.m. as kids, and we would sit on the couch and watch Mimi and Pawpaw. And we just, you know, some of those are some of my best memories, just watching and being shaped by the things that take place on this broadcast and other ministries like this around the world. So I'm thankful to be a part of it. Thank you, Mimi and Pawpaw, Kenneth and Gloria Copeland. What a privilege it is to share this table with you and to be a part of this ministry with you. Father, we thank you right now in the name of Jesus over the Word of God that we're going to hear today, that you're going to teach us today. We thank you, Lord, that it will move and cut deep to the heart, and it'll bring change and instigate change into our lives. And whatever you lead us in today, Lord, we'll be quick to hear it and quick to obey it. We'll be doers of the Word and not forgetful hearers. We thank you, Lord, for your presence even now as we get into your Word, and as this Word moves all around the world, we thank you that the presence of God is changing lives everywhere. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, you have your Bible with you today? Let's do this. Let's get right back into where we've been over the last several days. And I want you to begin in Matthew chapter 11. We looked at this yesterday. And remember, we talked about, we began actually in Mark chapter 6, where Jesus had called his disciples to him, and he gave them power and then sent them out. He didn't send them out with money. He didn't send them out with a bunch of extra clothes or a bunch of extra equipment. He gave them power. Why? Because that power provides everything else. Don't build a doctrine that says, see, Jesus don't want you to have nothing. No, he wants you to have what his power will supply for you, which is every need met according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. That's good. You agree with that? Amen. All right. So we looked at that. And then later in that chapter, these 12 once disciples, now apostles, because they got sent, came running home to Jesus, and they said, Jesus, it worked. We laid hands on the sick and they recovered. We cast out demons and they were healed. And Jesus said to them, good, now it's time to come away by yourselves to a deserted place and rest. I'll say it to you again. The command to rest was from the same Son of God that commanded them to go. Do you hear him when he tells you to rest? Husbands, do you hear the Father leading you as you lead your family? And when it's time to rest, when it's time to take your kids away for a few days, do you do that? Are you willing to invest in that? And you say, well, we can't afford to. Well, you've heard this said, but I'll say it to you. You can't afford not to. And when that direction is from the Lord to go away and rest, listen, he'll pay for it. He will supply it. Just as much as he would supply and equip you to go and minister? Do you think that he's calling me as a minister to go and do things, the things that he's called me and my wife Sarah to do? Do you think that he's doing that without giving us what it takes to get it done? No, that would be cruel. That would be mean. He doesn't do that. He called his 12 to him. He gave them the power, and the power provided what they needed. Then, when they came home, he called them to rest. You need that. But here's what's key. We find this in Matthew chapter 11. There is no outward rest. There is no laying your head down at night and sleeping well until you know how to rest on the inside. You ever been kept awake by worry? You ever laid your head down and you just have that sideways view of the clock all night long, and you just watch it tick away 1 minute right after the other, and you think to yourself, if I go to sleep right now, I'll get a solid 4 hours, and that way I can work tomorrow, and pretty soon, okay, I'll get a solid 3.5. And then finally, you just give up. I had a friend of mine one time, a guy I used to work with, and he told me he was really into fitness, he was really into health, and he had been reading in this magazine, this health and fitness magazine, that for every hour you're awake, it's like putting a brick on your shoulder. But for every hour you sleep, it's like taking two off. They were just giving an analogy for what happens to the body when the body is at rest. And man, that stuck with me. I would go to bed at night and I think, okay, I've been up for 16 hours. So that I've got 16 hours, I've got 16 bricks on my shoulder. So if I sleep 8, I can take 16 off and I'll start tomorrow fresh. But you know what? That article was saying that's how people get into sleep debt. That's how people get into sleep deprivation, is they stay awake for 18 or 20 hours and they only take, you know, 16 bricks off, so to speak, and they start the next day already with a load on their shoulders. You understand what I'm saying? That's why it's so important to take the rest that you need. But again, there is no outward rest until there's inward rest. And Jesus introduced us. This was his introduction to inward rest. Here we go. Matthew 11, verse 25. At that time. Now, if you remember, we read that out of the Weist Expanded Translation, and in the original language, you find that it says, at that epochal, at that strategic moment. The word epochal meaning the beginning or the start, the marking of a new development, the marking of a new era. What's new here? What is new about what Jesus is saying? Because whatever he says from that time on is the beginning of a new era. Verse 28, come to me. Here is the beginning of the new development. Here is the beginning of the new era, coming to him. Well, what do we get when we come to him? Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. We identified grace as anything that's a gift from God through Jesus. And Jesus is saying, you've been burdened by the law. You could not keep it. You've tried and tried and tried, and it's become weight. It's become bricks on your shoulder, so to speak. And it has weighed you down and weighed you down and weighed you down. And on top of that, religious people and a religious way of thinking, religion, bondage has been laid on you, and that now it's even heavier on you. And Jesus is saying, I am going to start a new day. I'm going to mark a new era. The old era of performing for God is over. The new era is I provide your rest. You remember we looked at Genesis chapter 2 yesterday? Just turn back there quickly. Genesis chapter 2. Thus, this is verse 1, thus the heavens and the earth and all the host of them were finished. Say finished. You need to start thinking in terms of what's been finished. Things that are done. Things that are accomplished. And the work of days 1 through 6 were accomplished, finished, done, over, right? On the seventh day, verse 2, God ended his work. On the seventh day, God ended his work which he had done, and he rested. God rested. Because he was tired? No. Because he was done. Rest is appropriate when you're done. That's when it's time to rest, when it's been accomplished, when it's been finished. And remember what we identified about days 1 through 6 of creation? We saw that everything he did, he saw it and said that it was good. He saw that it was good. The work that he had done was good. The creation was good. The work was good. Over and over, 6 times, the work is good. But when you get to day 7, it's no longer just good, it's holy. It's no longer just good. It's sanctified. That's what verse 3 says. Then God blessed the seventh day and he sanctified it. Of all the days of creation, this is the one he blessed. This is the one he sanctified. And then from that moment forward, it began to be a part of his instruction to his people. It began even before the Ten Commandments. God was talking to Moses and he said, you make sure these people know that they can work for 6 days, but on that seventh day, they aren't to do anything. That's the day I want them to rest. Why? Because that's the day I rested. and then he got into the Ten Commandments. And this is an interesting study. You go read the Ten Commandments, and this is what you're going to see, that most of them have a few words. Most of the commandments have a few words and a statement about them. But you know the commandment regarding rest is 3 verses long? God sanctified that day of rest. He blessed it. Why? Because everything was done. Everything was completed. Now you listen to me. Your salvation, your forgiveness, the forgiveness of your sins is done. It's completed. Jesus did the good work. All the good work that the law required, and that law required some pretty strong things. That law required perfection. And man was in debt to that law. But Jesus came as a man and paid the debt. Jesus came, and everything that that law required, he fulfilled. And in exchange, he gave you rest. Let me ask you something. Those of you who are born again, those of you who have said, Jesus be the Lord of my life and salvation, you experience salvation. Let me ask you, are you still working for that? Are you working for that salvation? No, you are not. Did you earn that salvation? No, you didn't. How were you saved? I can hear you all saying it right now. By grace through faith. By grace through faith. That's how I was born again, not of works. We understand that from Scripture. Well, if you're not working for it, then you must be resting in it. Are you resting in your salvation? You're not working for it anymore. Then why are you still working for your healing? Why have you got it into your thinking that if I confess enough, if I pray long enough and loud enough, that God's going to see that and he's going to call it faith. And he's going to say, wow, look at what you did. I'm going to give you healing. Listen to me. Your healing is not payment for your many confessions. No, your healing is already accomplished. Your healing is already done. Your confession should come out of your place of rest. Your confession should come out of your confidence that Jesus did what it took, that Jesus paid the price, and the good works have been accomplished in him, and now I confess according to my rest. Now I pray according to my rest. Not praying for victory, praying from victory. Amen? Do you see the change here? Jesus said, I'm introducing a new day. I'm introducing a new development, a new era. The old day of you working for it, the old day of you trying to perform to be good enough, Jesus is saying that day is over and today marks a new day. Today marks the day of grace. And today marks the day of rest. That's what this was saying in verse 25, this epochal strategic moment. Have you ever had an epochal moment? A moment that started something new? Just recently, I've been going back over my life and thinking about the epochal moments, the moments that something new started and began. You know what? The day I married Sarah. I'll start even before that. The day I met Sarah. Because, and I won't get into the whole story, but before we even met, we both knew independently of each other that that's who we were going to marry. And that's a long story and it's a good story. Maybe I'll tell it to you someday. But the day I met her was a day that marked a new development. The day we got engaged was a day that marked a new development. We went from dating or courting or whatever you call it. And we went from that. That era ended and the era of engagement began. Now, it was not a very long era. It was a 3-month era. But the day we were married, September 1st, 2007, marked a new beginning in my life. That was the mark in the beginning of something new, a whole new era for me. And as I record these broadcasts, we are coming to the end of Sarah's pregnancy, and we're excited to welcome our little boy into this world in the next couple of months from when I'm taping this. By the time you see it, we will have a child in our lives, and I guarantee you, that's a new development. That is a new era. And I don't even have any kids yet, I know a lot of you parents are saying, amen, new development, new era, nothing stays the same from there out. Think about these epochal moments in your life. Now realize that that's what Jesus was doing, marking the beginning of a new era. What era? The era and the day of grace. Now this is interesting. I want you to go to Mark chapter 2. And you know this, but when you read through these gospel accounts, they're coming from different perspectives and different angles. And so sometimes you'll see an account of something that happened, but you'll get a little different take on it. You'll get a little different view on it. And one of the things that was taking place right around this time, as a matter of fact, all of this kind of goes right with what we've seen in other places. But one of the things that you see leaving Matthew chapter 11, where Jesus said, "Come to me and I'll give you rest," on into chapter 12, he begins to walk with his disciples through the grain fields. Do you remember this? And it was on the Sabbath day, the day of rest, the day where you don't do work. And his disciples were plucking from the grains of wheat, and they were rubbing it together and they were eating it. And the Pharisees were watching this. Do you remember that? And they began to question Jesus about this and said, "Why do you let them do what's not lawful on the Sabbath day?" They had so misunderstood God, and God's intention for the day of rest had become work to these guys. It had become burden to these guys. And that is not what God intended. As a matter of fact, Jesus said to them, he questioned them about it, and he said, "Don't you know what David did? How he went into the temple and he took the showbread and he ate it that was only supposed to be for the priest, but God didn't correct him for that." And then Jesus made this statement. He said, "The Sabbath was created for man. The rest was a gift from God to man. Man wasn't created to serve that Sabbath day." See, they had gotten it all confused and mixed up. Well, you see some of those same things in Mark chapter 2. And Jesus in verse 27 says, "The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. Therefore, the Son of Man is also Lord of the Sabbath." What Sabbath? The one that God put in place back on day 7 of creation, the one that he instituted in the Old Testament, became a part of the Ten Commandments, and is now being carried through into the New Testament. And Jesus is saying, "This rest, I'm the Lord of that. I get to decide what happens on the day of rest. You don't get to make it burden on people," he's saying to the Pharisees. Well, check this out. So all this is happening. We see what's going on in Mark chapter 2, Matthew chapter 11. Some of these things are happening right around the same time. Mark chapter 2 brings something out that Matthew didn't see. And in chapter 2, verse 18, it says, "The disciples of John and of the Pharisees were fasting. Then they came and said to him, 'Why do the disciples of John and of the Pharisees fast, but your disciples do not fast?' And Jesus said to them, 'Can the friends of the bridegroom fast while the bridegroom is with them? As long as they have the bridegroom with them, they cannot fast.'" But now listen to this, verse 20. "The days will come when the bridegroom will be taken away from them, and then they will fast in those days." Verse 21. This is kind of an odd response at the first time you look at it. Verse 21. "No one sews a piece of unshrunk cloth on an old garment, or else the new piece pulls away from the old and the tear is made worse." So Jesus, they're questioning Jesus about fasting, and he starts talking about sowing. Not like sowing seed, like literally sowing a garment. You've ever wondered about that before? Jesus, they didn't ask you about sowing. Nobody asked you about home economics here. They asked you about fasting. But his response is, "No one sews a piece of unshrunk cloth to an old garment, or else the new piece pulls away from the old and the tear is made worse." And you know what? At the beginning of this year, I was reading that and I thought, "Lord, I don't know enough about that. I need to understand that a little better." And I would read it and read it and read it and still walk away from it thinking, "What on earth are you talking about?" And you read on and Jesus goes on and says, "No one puts new wine into old wineskins, or else the new wine bursts and the wineskins are ruined, but the new wine must be put into new wineskins." And these guys are standing around going, "Did you ask him about sowing? Did you ask him about wine? I didn't say anything about wine, and we're talking about fasting." Jesus starts talking about these other things. And I asked the Lord, "Will you show me about this?" And I picked up a commentary and I began to read it and the light came on. Don't you love it when the light comes on? And I saw this for the first time. Jesus, all this is going on where Jesus is introducing this day of grace. Jesus is introducing this day of rest. And he's saying, I'm the Lord of the Sabbath. And the Sabbath, this rest was made for man. And in the middle of it, he says, you don't take a piece of unshrunk cloth and put it on an old garment. What does that mean? It means you don't take something that hasn't been, you don't take something old, you don't take something new and try to put it on something old, because when you wash it, they'll tear away from each other. You know what he's saying? He's saying you can't take this new development called grace and put it on the law. You can't put these things together. They don't mix. You've got the old law and you've got the new day of grace. Don't try to mix them together. In other words, don't try to be saved by grace and healed by your works. Don't try to be forgiven by grace but prosperous according to your hard work. That's trying to put grace and law together, and they don't work. And he's saying, you can't put new wine, the new wine of that grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the gift that came from him, you can't put that into an old wineskin. An old wineskin was something that was, it was hard and brittle because of time. And if you put new wine in it, this new wine that's still expanding, it's still breathing, it's still growing. If you put new wine into an old wineskin, Jesus says what's going to happen. They'll both break and shatter. The wine will be spilled. And now they're both useless. When you try to put grace as a patch on the law, it'll rip away and now they're both useless. You won't have any understanding of either the grace or of what law was intended to bring man to. He's saying this is a new day. This is a new development. You and I are living in that seventh day of grace, that seventh day of rest, where all of the law has been accomplished, where everything that the law required has been fulfilled in the life, in the ministry, in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. It's over. It's done. Your salvation's paid for. Your healing's paid for. Your deliverance is paid for. Your forgiveness is paid for. It's finished. And when it's finished, it's time to rest. Only when it's done do you rest. And because Jesus finished it, because God accomplished it, it's over and it's done. And now you and I are living in that seventh day. And we're not trying to mix these things together anymore. If I'm saved by grace, then I'm healed by grace. If I'm forgiven by grace, then I'm made prosperous according to His riches and glory by grace. Why? Because it came through Jesus. We are living in that seventh day. Don't try to mix these things. Just rest in what grace has done for you. I'm out of time. Don't go anywhere. I'll be back in just a moment.
Come to these exciting meetings. A Behind the Mission Weekend with Stephen Kelly Swisher is June 25th and 26th in Lombard, Illinois at the Weston Lombard Yorktown Center. The Copeland Family Meeting in Long Beach, California is July 8th through 10th, 2010. Come and meet the family, George and Terry Pearsons, Stephen Kelly Swisher, John and Marty Copeland, and Jeremy and Sarah Pearsons at the Long Beach Convention Center. This year, the Southwest Believers Convention is being called Homecoming 2010. August 2nd through 7th at the Fort Worth Convention Center in Fort Worth, Texas. The Behind the Mission Weekend in Orlando, Florida will be September 24th and 25th with Stephen Kelly Swisher at the Hilton Orlando Bonnet Creek. Be sure to come to the Washington, D.C. Victory Campaign November 11th through 13th with Kenneth and Gloria Copeland at the Hilton Memorial Chapel in Woodbridge, Virginia. For more information, go to kcm.org. Have you looked at your schedule lately? Pretty busy, right? But what about God? There is a place in God where you can come away and find true rest. Experience God's Rest is a package of two practical teaching series by Kenneth and Gloria Copeland designed to help you enter into that place of rest. Don't Stress Out, Trust God by Kenneth Copeland tells you how to take anxiety and worry out of your life. God is willing and able to take care of you. Learn to trust Him and start living His way free of stress. God Can Turn It Around by Gloria Copeland gives you confidence in God's ability. He can change your circumstances and fix whatever situation you're facing. See yourself through His eyes and change the direction of your life. Experience God's rest. This package will take you from feeling stressed out to being at peace and resting in God. The Experience God's Rest package is being offered to you at a special 50% savings. Now just $20 for both CD series by Kenneth and Gloria Copeland. For an additional product discount and 48-hour processing, order your package online at kcm.org. Order the Experience God's Rest package and learn the importance of making rest a priority in your life. For these and other KCM products, visit us at kcm.org.
Now listen, I'm not a doctor, you know that and I know that, but I want you to take these things that we're talking about from the Word of God. I want you to treat them as medicine. I want you to treat them as a prescription. And there are so many people living a life completely stressed out, totally worried, can't get free from it, can't even lay down and sleep at night because these images keep going through their mind. And it's time to take these things, it's time to take the Word of God and take it as medicine. That's why Kenneth Copeland Ministries is offering this package to you today. It's a CD series, one by Gloria Copeland and one by Kenneth Copeland, one called God Can Turn It Around. You need to know that God can turn your situation around. You also need to know how to not stress out and trust God. Now we're getting into it. This is going to teach you how to enter into that place of rest. There's a spirit of faith on the inside of you that refuses to quit, and we're going to get into this more on these broadcasts that are coming up. But you need to find out what the root of that stress is, what the root of that pressure is, and address it with the Word of God and watch your situation get turned around. Order yours today. They're going to be a blessing to you. I want to let you know that at Kenneth Copeland Ministries, we are here for you. If you have a prayer need, I don't care how big or small you think it is, how big or small it feels to you. If you have something you need prayer of agreement on, you call us. Use our toll-free number 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. The prayer of agreement is important because when it's based on the Word of God, it will produce results. Now listen, outside of the U.S., we have offices all over the world. So there's always somebody to pray with you. And if you live outside the United States, you check the hours of operation of the office in your area, and there's somebody that'll be delighted to come into agreement with you. Prayer is your connection with God. You talking to Him, Him talking to you. Amen. Make sure you join me again tomorrow as we round out this week studying how we can live in this place of rest, resting in Him, resting on Him. There's deliverance for you here. There's peace of mind and peace of heart. I'm so glad you've been a part of these broadcasts. This is Jeremy Pearson's reminding you, God loves you. We love you. Now say it with me. Jesus is Lord.
Thank you for joining us on the Believer's Voice of Victory. To purchase this week's broadcasts on DVD or CD, go to kcm.org or call or write to us today. Be sure to join Steve and Kelly Swisher for Behind the Mission Weekend Chicago, Friday and Saturday, June 25th and 26th at the Weston Lombard Yorktown Center. For all the information on Behind the Mission Weekend Chicago, go to our website at kcm.org.